Hello, everybody. It's Larry Goins. How is everyone doing tonight?
Okay.
Great.
Excellent. Excellent. So welcome to the biweekly Q&A calls. They're always the second and fourth Monday of the month, and they're at 9 p.m. Eastern, as you all know if you're on here. So there's no scheduled agenda. I don't have training. It is biweekly Q&A calls. So I'm here to answer any and every question that you have. We'll stay on here as long as it takes so everybody gets all their questions answered. And if you need any questions answered between times, you're always welcome to email me or call me. So with that said, let's just jump right in and see if anybody has a question that you want to throw out.
Larry, this is Sheila. Hi.
What's up?
My first bid, and I got a first counter offer with HUD.
You go, girl.
So I'm about to pass out.
That's great. It's beautiful.
And it's actually from a realtor, too. I thought for sure she'd never call me back. And I said she probably didn't even submit my bid.
Wow.
With her attitude. And so she called back this evening. I wasn't able to catch her call, and she told me I didn't have to call back. I could call in the morning.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. And with the counters, you know, you can counter back, you can accept their counter, you can just submit a bid, or you can do nothing.
Okay, and she did suggest for me to counter on it. So
yeah, and that's great. So just figure out what your highest and best is and submit that counter, and you'll be good to go.
Okay. It's still kind of confusing with the ARV, but, you know, and all that. And then, you know, I'm seeing two different highs and lows. So I'll just work on that in the morning.
Have you asked your realtor what the ARV would be?
No, I haven't asked her on that.
Okay. Yeah, well, you could talk to your realtor about that as well. Say, hey, you know, if I buy this property and we fix it up, what's it going to be worth?
And that'll really
help. They can pull a CMA for you.
Okay, because really the house just looks like maybe just some minor areas of painting and maybe one or two rooms with the carpet, but the hardwood floor, everything looks in good shape.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Where is the property?
Ozark, Alabama. I don't have a clue where that's at.
That's awesome. Well, I just bought one last week in Gadsden, Alabama, and I don't have a clue where that is. So,
oh.
So you're all right.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, as long as you got somebody there that does know the area and the market and can help you do your due diligence and be your boots on the ground, then you'll be okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. Did you have any more questions about it?
No. I might call tomorrow and you know, I'll wait and talk to Amy first, the realtor, and go from there.
All right, cool. Well, once you do, then just hit me back. You can call me or email me or whatever it is you want to do. I'll be glad to walk you through it.
Okay. I told Richard I probably won't even be able to sleep tonight. Oh,
that's funny. That's funny. He'll help you. He's not gonna let you do anything wrong.
Yeah.
He'll help you. He's right there for you, and he believes in you too.
Yes.
He knows you can do this.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, anybody else have a question you want to jump in with?
Yes. Hello. My name is Terrell Staley.
Hey, Terrell,
and
how you doing?
How you doing, Larry? I just got your course last week. I just dealt with David Israel and Ron Devine.
Uh-huh.
Vincent, and I'm from West Columbia, South Carolina.
Uh-huh, great. Yeah, you're not too far away.
Exactly. I just came to the office last week, and I just have a question. I know the market now is the beginning, you know, like come back up, you know, like as far as foreclosures, it's not that, I guess
sure.
in this market, in
That's
South
right.
Carolina, it's not that many more foreclosures or, you know, in the, you know, in the market out there.
Right.
I'm being new to this all the way around. I'm a green, you know, I'm a green thumb right now.
Well, congratulations for getting started.
Yeah, and I'll be coming to your Inner Circle meeting in July the 13th through the 15th.
Great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And well, anyway, the question I wanted to ask, how does this, how does your strategy work in a market that fluctuates? Let's just say, you know, that if now it becomes a, a seller's or buyer's market,
uh-huh.
How does your program work, you know, when there's not, you know, many homes out there? I mean,
well, sometimes you
if I'm asking that right.
Right, right. And when it comes turns into a seller's market and it's a lot easier to sell a house, you know, for the price you want than
right.
a buyer's market where you can make a lot of low offers and get a lot of deals. And there's a lot
okay.
of properties out there. So the inventories have gone down. There's no question about that.
Right.
It's slowly turning into a seller's market. But what
right.
you have to do is you have to do a couple of things, okay?
Okay.
You have to look at your strategy. What am I doing? Am I wholesaling? If I'm wholesaling, maybe I'm going to have to start looking at other sources to find deals as opposed to just HUD or just the MLS. You know, maybe look on Zillow because Zillow has not only the realtor-listed properties but also the for-sale-by-owner-listed properties. Should I look on Craigslist? Should I run my own ads on Craigslist? Should I look for just drive neighborhoods and look for distressed property? I don't necessarily mean abandoned property. I mean distressed
right.
property. Like you see a property, maybe there's a car in the driveway, but the grass is knee-high, and you can tell they're not taking good care of it. So
exactly.
That might be either an owner-occupant that knows they're getting ready to lose the house or getting ready to move out, or it could be a landlord where the tenants aren't paying rent, you know, and they're not taking care of the property. So that's abandoned properties.
Right.
You know, run your own ads on Craigslist too. You know, is
okay.
another source. So there's that. Now another thing you can do is kind of change your strategy as to what you're doing. One of the things that we're doing now is we're buying properties and looking for properties that are fairly clean. And what I mean by clean is they're livable or they're close
okay.
to livable. All right, and this is good for everybody that's on the call here. I know we got a lot of people on the call tonight, but this is good for everybody that's on there. One of the things that we're doing is, in addition to trying to get the deep discount deals, we're looking for properties that are livable or close to livable where we can pay close to what the list price is. For example, we might see a house, and it might even be a double-wide mobile home, okay?
Right.
Maybe it's
okay.
listed, let's say it's listed for $29,900, all
okay.
right? And it's a three-bedroom, two-bath, maybe it's 1,400 square foot, got the vaulted ceiling and the island and the plant shelf and the garden tub and the master, and it's on an acre of land, got a little deck on the back, you know. But really all it needs is paint and maybe some carpet, or you might even be able to clean the carpet. Well, if you could say you could rent that thing out for, say, you know, $600 or $650, all right? Well,
right.
what you could do is you can make an offer of $25,000 on that property. Now, think about this, $25,000, that's close to the $30,000 that they're asking. But you offer $25,000, you get the house, and then you turn around and say you put a tenant in it, put a lease option tenant in it for, say, $650, maybe $700 a month if you're giving them a little rent credit. So you're putting a lease option tenant in it. So now let's say it has $650 a month coming in.
Right.
You could turn around and sell that same house to another investor as a cash flow property. Let's say you sell it to them for, say, $50,000. They
okay.
put $25 down, and you finance $25. And you got about $400 a month coming in. They got
okay.
$650 a month. You got $400 a month coming in. But how much do you have in the property? Nothing.
Okay.
You paid $25 for it. You loaded it with a tenant. You sold it with seller financing, and you got 50% down. Now, there's some people that will say, yeah, but that mobile home is not worth $50,000. Well, I got to tell you this, guys. I'd a lot rather have a mobile home that is bringing in $650 a month than, you know, a 60-year-old bungalow, you know, built in 1940 or 50 that, you know, has had updates and it's a really old neighborhood and I don't know what the wiring and the plumbing and all that stuff is. I'd a lot rather have a mobile home built in 2001 that's about 14 years old, you know, that's got the big bedrooms and the plant shelves and the garden tub and the vaulted ceiling, and it's on an acre of a land out to itself. I'd a lot rather have that. Now, here's the other thing. When you finance it for your investor, you're going to say your payment's going to be around $400 a month from the investor to you. Well, that payment's only going to be about 4 or 5 years long. So if they put $25,000 down, they got a little bit of cash flow, but within 4 or 5 years, they got 100% $650 a month, which by then it's probably $750 to $900, something like that a month. So then they've got a really good cash flow, and they just doubled their equity in the property, and the tenant paid it off. So that's just another little model that you can do, which would help you kind of to determine that what you could do with properties in a changing market when you have to bid a little bit higher. Did that help?
Okay. Yes, that helped greatly, because I just noticed the market, you know, did my little research, and I noticed that the market was beginning to change, and that was one of my questions. I said, how do you, you know, your strategies, you know, work in a changing, you know, market, you know, like you said, when it be coming now,
right.
A buyer's market. And so that's my biggest thing trying to, you know, like you're flipping. I read your stories, you know, how you flip 10 to 15 properties per month, and, you know, I would even like to do, you know, a quarter of that,
right.
You know. Is flipping, you know, and getting started. Yeah, so
that's why
I chose the Inner Circle.
Good, good. Well, I appreciate your business and I appreciate your confidence in us. We won't let you down. We'll do our best to lead you down the right path and help you become very successful doing this. And just know
okay.
You can always reach out to us anytime, even between these calls. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Awesome. No problem at all. I hope that helped.
Yes, sir, it did.
Good, good, good. And welcome to Inner Circle and welcome to the call here tonight.
Okay,
anybody
you.
Else have a question you want to throw out?
You said you were experimenting with the auctions. How is that going?
I actually just hired a guy to come in and help me with the auctions. And for those of you that may not have heard, because your phone is cutting out really bad, you mentioned about auctions that we're experimenting with it, and how's that going? I was able to get that out of it, but it was breaking up pretty bad. But it's going pretty well. We haven't started bidding on a lot of properties. We're starting with Home Search, and then we're going to work our way up to auction.com, and we're going to do some stuff on Hubzoo and Hudson and Marshall and Williams and Williams. And I found another one recently, Genesis Auctions. I actually talked to a person, and the way I found this, and guys, this is a really, really good tip here. Anytime I am talking to another investor that's trying to sell me a property, I always ask them, how did you get this property? And the person who called me about this, one of our I Buy Houses ads on Craigslist, they said, you know, I asked them, and they said, we bought it on auction. My very next question was, which auction sites do you like the best? And they said Genesis and Home Search. So I looked up Genesis right away and found it and set up an account with them. So, and the thing I like about Genesis, they don't have a lot of properties, but their auctions are very short term, like 3 days. But also, they make you jump through a bunch of hoops to become approved. Not that just anybody cannot get approved, But what I mean by that is, you know, you got to print out paperwork, sign it, send it in. They have to get you on the phone and verify all your information. So it's more than just setting up like an account online or something. And a lot of people would go through the trouble to do that. So it lessens the competition, in my opinion. So yeah. But I hope that helped.
That helps. Thanks.
Awesome. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, I have one more question. This is Terrell again.
Sure.
Okay, I just about the bed buster. The bed blaster. About the bed blaster. Could that be downloaded also on a laptop too as well?
Well, it's a web based. It's web based, so
okay.
You can use it on a laptop, on an iPad, on an iPhone, on a desktop, anything you want to.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all web-based. All you need is something to get online with.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. And it's been going really good. That's a good little application right there.
Right, because I'm interested in getting it, so most likely I'll probably purchase it tomorrow.
Well, good. We'll just call David up, and or Ron, whoever you're working with, and they'll be glad to help you with that, because we are making it, you know, available to our students at a deep discount before we launch it to the general public. Also, you get no monthly hosting with that as well, with the introductory.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Good. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, what's the best way to find it?
I'm sorry. I couldn't understand what you were saying.
What is the best way to find most number of vacant houses?
What's the best way to find vacant houses? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. The best way to find vacant houses is driving for dollars, looking for vacant houses, and also hiring bird dogs to find vacant houses. You can run Craigslist ads that say, get paid to find me vacant houses. See a vacant house? Call me, and you can earn some quick cash if I buy it. Those are probably the two best ways that I know of.
Yeah. How much are you offering them to come up with?
Well, you can either pay them by the lead, or you can pay them a bird dog fee, as long as your state allows that, because there's some states that have real estate commission laws that they want you to be licensed to be able to get a bird dog fee. But, you know, you could pay $250 to $500, or you could pay like $25 a lead, something like that. But what I mentioned earlier about the unadvertised properties and about looking for properties where, you know, the grass has grown up, the house needs painting, and, you know, just stuff laying around in the yard where you can tell that there's no pride of ownership and it's probably some sort of a distressed situation, then whether it's vacant or not, I would stop and knock on the door and just tell them, you're in the neighborhood looking for houses and thought you would just see if they were thinking about selling their property. So does that help?
Yes, it does.
Excellent. Good. I'm glad I could help. Who else has a question?
Hi, Larry. This is Maxine. How are you doing?
Good, Maxine. What's up?
Not much. I have a question. Well, it's more of a the last few times I emailed you with a question, you responded and everything. You know, you told us where to send the email and what to put in the subject line so you can get it. The last time I sent a question, someone else responded from support or somewhere, I guess. And they answered the question, but they told me I needed to send my questions to them through the support. Has things changed? Can we still send it directly to you?
Well, I'm not sure why they would respond.
Yeah.
The only reason in the world they would respond is if you sent an email to them as opposed to me, because I am the only one that monitors my email address, and I do not monitor any other email address. So if somebody else responded, it means you sent an email to somebody else. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I sent it just like I sent all the other ones, so I don't know what happened.
Well, sometimes I notice some people, like reply to our emails that go out.
Uh-huh.
They think it's going to me, but it doesn't. It goes to our customer service. But
yeah,
to get an email from me,
yeah,
send it to Larry at LarryGoins.com.
Yeah, that's what I did. I don't know what happened.
I'm not sure what happened. Were you asking about the you weren't asking about the lake property, were you?
No.
Okay. Because I had Oh, okay, good. Did Cornelius send you that email?
Yeah, we got some email from him, but I still have some questions for you. But go ahead and finish with her, and then I'll ask.
Sure, that's fine. But, yeah, I tried to respond to you several times, and it kept bouncing back. That's why I asked him if he would respond for me, because I didn't think you were getting them. But anyway.
Yeah, and it came right through when he did it, but that's all right.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Maxie, did you have another question?
No, I was just concerned about that because I was like, well, all the other questions I sent to you, you responded.
Okay.
And then when I sent that last one, someone else responded.
I don't know what happened because nobody else monitors my email account.
Okay.
I'm the only one, so I'm not sure what happened there. But, you know, if somebody else responded, that means they must have got it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, now we know.
But, yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm glad we got that cleared up. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, this is Tom. So we have a small property. It's on actually the Ohio River, real nice spot on the Ohio River for the view. So we're looking to sell that, though, and wanted to know what sites would you recommend we go on to do that.
Okay. Did you get the email from Cornelius from Corn about that?
Yeah, and he mentioned Craigslist and Zillow and stuff like that.
Right.
And you know, and we're going to do that, but we thought, you know, these are all free sites, so we'll get on as many as we possibly can. But I know there's some specific to Waterfront.
Well, there are.
And
I don't know what they are right now, but my response to him, if he copied it word for word, would have also mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of small sites out there that might be like land specific or waterfront specific or condo specific or rent to own specific or something like that. But it's been my experience that a lot of those sites have very minimal traffic to them. And your best bet is either if you're going to list it with the realtor, get it put on realtor.com, or if you're not, put it on sites like Craigslist and eBay and Zillow and Trulia and those big sites like that. That way you're getting the most exposure you can. Now, if you want to, you could Google waterfront real estate or waterfront properties for sale or luxury property for sale or whatever might be your description and find some websites that you can put it on. But it's been my experience that the best response you're going to get are from the websites that have the most traffic.
I mean, that sounds good, and we'll do that, definitely. We just thought, since you were familiar with Waterfront and you live on Waterfront yourself, that maybe you'd have some specific sites that you'd recommend. That's all.
I really don't. I wish I could tell you, you know, listed on this site, X, but I don't know, you know, I don't really, I mean, yeah, I live on the water and familiar with waterfront properties, but we sold a house that was a waterfront house on a golf course. It was on a golf course, you know, overlooking a small lake, and it was an 8,800 square foot house that was worth, you know, like $1.7 million, but it had fire damage. I think we bought it for $395 and sold it for $450, but we sold it on Zillow.com. We just ran
ads
on Zillow and Craigslist, and we didn't run ads on any kind of luxury home site or gated community or golf course home sites. We just ran it on Zillow, and that's exactly where we sold it. And we sold it to a buyer that was going to live in it. So they bought it to fix it up and live in it.
Oh, I would have guessed you just sold that to a real estate investor.
Well,
you wholesaled it.
Who it is?
I understand.
Would probably buy it, but it was somebody that was going to fix it up and live in it. We didn't really care
if
we bought it, but it just happened to be somebody that was going to fix it up and live in it.
Do you? Okay, we're going to try and sell this thing on our own at first, and then if we don't within 2 or 3 weeks, then we're going to go with a realtor. And if we do that, do you negotiate the rates with realtors, the percentage?
No, not as far as something like that. Now, here's what you can do. I say no, but I'm going to say yes and no. Okay, I'm going to change my answer. What you want to do is, if you have a good realtor friend, maybe negotiate with them for the listing side of the commission. In other words, if commissions in your area are, say, 6%, well, what you could do is you could say, okay, I'm going to give you just a flat $500, but we're going to pay 3% to the selling agent. That way you're only paying 3% plus $500. Or you could say 1% or something to the listing agent and 3% to the selling. Or if you got enough room to work with it, you could say, 4% to the selling agent. You know, that way you're still under the 6, but most agents would be more likely to show your property than they would another property because they're going to make more money on yours than the other one. Another thing you can do that I've seen that's worked really well is you offer a selling bonus to the agent who sells your property. And in most states, I think there are a few states that this does not apply, but in most states, that money can go right to the agent themselves, and it does not have to go through the broker and be split with the broker. So you can offer a bonus, and that bonus could be anywhere from, say, $1,000 to $5,000. I've offered $2,500 bonus. I've offered a $3,500 bonus. I think I offered a $5,000 bonus one time for an acceptable offer. So that's just a few things that you can do to help get your property sold quicker.
Okay, that's a pretty good idea. We might entertain that one.
Cool. Well, good luck with that. And if you don't get it sold, in the next couple of weeks or so, then you could list it with a realtor. But are you going to put some signs out in the area as well?
Yeah, we're going to put one on the water and probably on the busy road. This is off of I say busy. It's in a very small town in Indiana. It's not close to our house, so not real close. It's within 2 hours, but that's why we bought it. It was just for a weekend kind of a thing.
Yeah, we'll be sure and put several signs. I would go buy 10 signs, put the price on them, and then put them all throughout the neighborhood or down the road or whatever, and put one or two on the water, and then maybe run an ad in the local real estate book magazine there that all the realtors run ads in, and maybe print out some flyers and take them around to the different marinas and restaurants and boat dealers and things like that. If it's on a lake, there's a lot of those things around. So take your flyers around places like that.
Yeah, okay. And you do put the price on there?
Well, if...
Are you recommending that?
Well,
on the signs?
I am if it's a good deal. In other words, if all the property... What are you asking for it?
We're going to ask for about $110,000.
Okay.
$110,000.
If all the other houses in the neighborhood are like $130,000 or $140,000 or $50,000 and up, then, and $110,000 is a good deal, then yes, I would definitely put the price on it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We always put the price on our signs. That way, you know, if it's a sign, say we've got a house that we bought for 40 and we're selling it for 50, but all the houses in the neighborhood are like 75 and up. So we most definitely put that price on it. So people riding by go like, wow, man, this is a deal. I got to find out where this house is.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Sounds good.
Good. I hope that helped.
All right. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Awesome. Anytime. My pleasure. Who else has a question? Got some good questions tonight. Anybody else have a question you want to jump in with?
Larry, I have one. Are there any new issues dealing with due on sale clause and any particular lenders causing problems with that?
I don't know of any new issues coming up. You know, you always have the clause 17, the due on sale clause, and you can get around that by having the seller put the property into a land trust if you're buying property subject to. I'm not a big fan of subject to, as a lot of you know, but if you are buying a property subject to, you could have the seller deed it over into a land trust and then change the beneficiary from themselves to you whenever you take title of it. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, it's you know, it is a way that you can do it.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem at all. But I don't know of any new, you know, laws or rules or regs or anything that's come down the pike. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, what is that? Can you remind me what that website is for the different newspaper in different cities and counties?
You mean like that the realtors run their ads in?
Or, you know, little small town newspapers, how you find where they are?
Oh, yeah, how you find all the local newspapers?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go to, you can go in whatever state you're in. Like, say you're in Texas, just Google Texas Press Association and then find the Texas Press Association. And on their website, they will have a listing of every newspaper, you know, in that state. You can also go to a website called newslink.com, newslink.com, and it will have on their website a listing of all the papers by state, and separated by dailies and weeklies and community papers and things like that. Is that what you were looking for?
Right. And how about the same for classifieds in various areas? Same thing?
Oh, yeah, that would be the newspapers, and then you would just contact the newspaper themselves to advertise in their classifieds. Unless you wanted to run an ad in the entire state, then you could go through the press association and run what's called statewide classifieds through the press association, and they handle it. You just write them one check, and then they send the ad out to every newspaper in the state, and it runs one time. And depending on the state, you know, it can run anywhere from a couple $100 to around $500. And that's one ad, one time in each newspaper in the entire state.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I've done those many times. That's a good little source to generate some leads for properties. Anybody else have a question you want to jump in with?
Hey, Larry.
Yes.
HomeSource has been advertising occupied options. Do you suggest staying away from those?
Who has been advertising that?
I think it was HomeSource.
Oh, okay. Well, the last two houses I bought were occupied. So as long as you're okay with it and can deal with it, I don't have a problem with it. There's not a lot of people that bid on those, so there's not as much competition. But the last two auction properties I bought them as occupied properties. Now, one of them was vacant by the time I bought it. and by the time I closed on it, but it was advertised as an occupied property. The other one, I've got a local property manager going by to talk to the tenant to see if they're paying rent and how much they're paying and if they want to stay and if they have a lease in place. If not, we'll put one in place, or if they want to move out, whatever it is. But as long as you're okay with it and you can deal with it, then I do not have a problem buying a property that's occupied.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Who else has a question?
Terry, how about what are the? Can you give us an update on how your HUD offers are going in the whole situation with HUD?
On how my HUD offers are going, and what was the other part?
And how your whole program is progressing.
My whole program is progressing.
You were putting offers in various states and so forth.
Yeah, we are making offers in multiple states now, but it's going very, very slow only because we do not know the markets there, and we are starting one state at a time and making low offers and slowly inching our way up. We've had a few offers accepted in Missouri, I believe Tennessee, and Oklahoma. But after doing our, looking at the property and doing a little more due diligence, we decided not to move forward with them. We probably could have, but we just wanted to make sure that they were home runs. So we actually decided not to. So we pulled away from it and canceled those bids or did not send in the deposits on those. So I guess in a roundabout way of answering your question, it's going very slow, but we're doing that intentionally.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, you mostly do wholesaling, don't you?
Mostly do wholesaling, and we're starting to do more and more owner financing, buying like the Filthy Riches model, and also do more of what I just described earlier, where you put a lease option tenant in it and then sell it to an investor with 50% down.
So are you doing any flipping?
You mean when you say flipping, are you talking about fix and flip?
Yeah, fix and flip.
No, I don't do any of that. Well, I shouldn't say I don't. I have a house right now for sale that we fixed up. But I typically don't like it, don't want to do anymore.
Okay. So when you do your lease options, do you repeatedly get 50% down for those?
Well, just to clarify, the kind of deal I get 50% down is, say I buy a house for 25, I put a lease option tenant in it that's paying, say, $650 or $700 a month, and they might put a couple or $3,000 down for the option to buy it for, say, $59.9. Well, now I've got somebody in there paying, say, $650 a month, and they got an option to buy it $59.9. I can go to an investor and say, here's a cash flow property with no management headaches because the lease option tenant is taking care of any repairs and maintenance, and I'll sell it to you for 50 with 25 down, and you'll have it paid for in 4 to 5 years. So
okay.
It's not the lease option tenant putting 50% down. It's the cash flow investor.
Okay, I got you. I'm with you now. I got it halfway through. Sorry.
Well,
okay, so here's the thing. We have some rental property, and we're going to keep some of them, and we want a lease option the rest of them. So it may or may not be the tenant that's in there currently. We're going to offer that to them, but chances are it's not going to be that.
Right.
What would you recommend we get for the down payment? Most of these guys, obviously, and you already know this, are going to have bad credit. but they have money, you know, so they have the cash usually, or the means to pay
right.
for this thing, right. but their credit is trash and they're trying to build it back up, and you're the bank. So what would you recommend in the way of a down payment for them?
Well, I'm going to give you two answers, okay?
The
first answer is as much as you can.
Okay.
The second answer is going to be a minimum of 5% and typically somewhere between 5 and 10% of the purchase price. So if you're selling the property for $59,900, you know, that's $60,000, you're probably going to get somewhere between $3,000 to $6,000 down, which is 5 to 10%.
Okay. Okay. And that's what you do as a minimum.
I wouldn't take any less than $3,000 down on a $59,900 house.
If you were able to get more than that from the person, would you give them a benefit or a credit of some sort to because you're getting more up front?
Well, you always are going to give them credit for the entire option amount, or I do anyway.
Right.
You know, the option amount is going to go toward the purchase price if and when they exercise the option. So that's always, you know, I mean, you tell them, hey, you put $10,000 down, all $10,000 is going toward the purchase price, you know, once you complete the transaction and go get your own loan and close, you know, pay me off. So you always do that. But now some people give rent credit. You know, I'm not going to mention the rent credit unless they do. I'm not going to talk about it unless they ask about it.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
So if they do ask about it,
then you could give,
credit. A percentage of the rent.
Right. A percentage, or, you know, if the normal rents were, say, $500, but, you know, what you might even work it out as a strategy like this. Say you know that they need, whatever it is, 10% down to go get a loan, but they only have 5% to put down. So you got to help them build up some more money, okay? So
yeah.
Okay. So say, okay, the rent is normally $500 a month. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to help you out. You pay $600 per month, and I'm going to give you $100 credit toward the purchase price whenever you exercise your option. So within a couple of years, you know, 2.5 years, you've got your $3,000 option money plus $100 per month rent credit. After another 30 months, you've built up to 10% or $6,000. And you may be able to go get a loan at that point. So
okay.
My point is you can typically get more per month for a house you're doing a lease option than you're doing straight rent.
Right, yes. I figured that. We kind of were talking about that, but we weren't sure about the down. We've never taken a big down. We've done a couple of lease options, but very little down, but we're going to take more than that.
The more money they put down, the longer it takes them to walk away from the money.
Exactly.
I didn't say that they won't walk away from it. It's the longer it takes them to walk away from it.
Yeah. Yeah, because they still will sometimes walk away if they put a couple thousand down. They may still walk away from it.
That's right.
Okay, sounds good.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Yep.
Good. Who else has a question you would like to jump in with? Anybody got a question? Bob, well, we had a lot of great questions tonight. Going once. Going twice. Well, guys, I really appreciate your business, and I appreciate you being on here. And if you ever need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to me, call or email in between these calls. You can always shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com, and I'm here for you anytime. And keep those success stories coming, and let me know if you need help on any deals or anything about the market or funding or negotiating or anything it is you need help on. I am here to help you, my team and I as well. And we really appreciate your business and look forward to working with you. And thanks a lot. I hope everybody has a great evening. Thanks for being on here, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.